Hello and welcome to the Crisis Point Podcast. I'm Eric Sammons, your host and the editor-in-chief of Crisis Magazine. Before I get started, I just want to encourage people to like and subscribe to the channel, whether it's on YouTube or through your podcast feed or wherever it might be. Let's let people know about it. I've been very happy. We've had a big jump in number of subscribers, both at YouTube and in our podcast. The regular podcast as well recently. So I really appreciate everybody who has done that. Also, I just wanted to note, if you support the work of Crisis, please consider supporting the work of Crisis by going to crisismagazine.com/donate. And based upon today's topic, hopefully you'll be able to donate in cryptocurrency at some point, but actually we don't have that set up yet. So we'll get there. Okay, so today, the topic is Bitcoin, cryptocurrency in general, Bitcoin, and Catholics and Bitcoin specifically. Now, before I get started on any of this, I just want to give that disclaimer that you hear on some of these different things where it says, this is not investment advice. I'm not going to be talking about what you need to put your money in. I don't care where you put your money. That's up to you. I never give people investment advice. It sometimes annoys some of my family members that I didn't tell them more about Bitcoin back in the day. But anyway, so I'm not going to be giving you any advice or anything I say is just my opinion. Now, I will say I do think that Bitcoin is going to go up in value over time. I've thought that for the past 8 years I've been involved with Bitcoin. In fact, I think it's at its all-time high today. It's getting very close to its all-time high of $63,000 and something. But this is not some get-rich-quick scheme. I'm not going to be talking about that type of stuff. So I want to get that out of the way first. If you're looking for investment advice, go somewhere else. So what I want to talk about, though, is specifically, after all, this is Crisis Magazine. So I want to talk about how Bitcoin, what is its role in the crisis? Is it going to exacerbate it, make it worse? Is it going to be used to do things that harm the mission of the church, or can it be used to help the mission of the church in the societal crisis we have? I think we all know, especially with COVID, with the election of President Biden, the increase of socialism, all these type of things, we have a societal crisis. A lot of times here on the channel, we talk about the church crisis, internal church crisis. But really, we all know we're in a societal crisis that's significant. I mean, just as an example, I just tweeted this out earlier today. A friend of mine went to the grocery store 2 days ago, I think it was. She's local to me, and it was closed. And they had a sign up that saying that they didn't have enough workers. So they just didn't have enough people there, enough people to work to keep it open. That's a small little bit of what we're talking about with a societal crisis that we're having. And so what I want to talk about here is, what is the role of Bitcoin? I had an article, I link in the show notes to it. I have an article I wrote back in February when Bitcoin was rising again, you know, at that point at Crisis Magazine, about Catholics and Bitcoin, why Catholics should care about Bitcoin. And so a lot of what I talked about in that article, I'll talk about again today, because I still think it's vital and it's important. And people who didn't see that article can hear about it here. So first, before I understand that Bitcoin is a very confusing topic, that people don't understand it. It's not something that your average person even gets what it is. So let me first just talk a little bit about what Bitcoin is, because that will help us then understand how Catholics can use it in the current crisis. So what I want to do first is just define it. And I'm going to use a definition from this great little book called Bitcoin Basics, 101 Questions and Answers by Eric Sammons. So I wrote this book 6 years ago. 6 years ago this month, it was published, October of 2015. Bitcoin at the time, I think, was trading for about $330. Like I said, $63,000 now. And so my definition, the first line in the book is, what is Bitcoin? Bitcoin is a decentralized global monetary system comprised of both an electric payment network and the digital currency used on that network. Now, I know that definition probably did not help anybody. And in fact, in the book, I say, don't worry about being confused at this point. These terms will all be explained later in following chapters. And so I'm going to kind of give the highlights of that. So actually, let me put that up on the screen for those who are watching. Let me find that. There it is. So Bitcoin is a decentralized global monetary system comprised of both an electronic payment system and the digital currency used on that network. So one thing I will say that is that first, global monetary system. I'm going to skip decentralized for a second. Global monetary system. So basically what that means is it's a way that you can exchange value across the globe with anybody at any time. So I think I want to buy something from somebody in, let's say, Africa, and they say they'll ship it to me, and I can send them money, and I can send them Bitcoin. They can accept it, and then what they can do is they can ship me my product, whatever. So it's a global monetary system. We have other ones. Most monetary systems are not global. The dollar probably is the closest to that today, but most monetary systems are national in scope, but Bitcoin is truly global. There's nothing that prevents, there's no borders to Bitcoin. So it's comprised of an electronic payment network. That simply means that it's a way you can send value online through a digital process on the internet. So you have to have an internet in order to have Bitcoin. And a digital currency used on that network. So digital currency, meaning the entire currency that you're sending, the value you're sending is completely digital. There's no way to print it out. There's no way to hold it in your hands or anything like that. There's no such thing as a Bitcoin coin. In fact, I just happened to notice this. I got this coin that's, it's a silver coin. I have it sitting here and somebody sent it to me. I can't remember what I bought. They sent it as like a gift or something like that. It's got a little QR code or something like that. Well, this is just a silver coin. It's like a Bitcoin code. But it's not Bitcoin. That's not Bitcoin. You can't touch, you can't hold Bitcoin. And then the last thing I want to note is that it's decentralized. This is probably the most important part of the definition. What that means is that there's nobody in charge of it. There's no one person, no one organization that runs Bitcoin. And so that is very important. And we'll see later why that's very important. The point is that it's software that runs on the internet. Lots and lots of people, anybody can run the software on their computer and can make it so that they're part of the Bitcoin network. And no, there's nothing stopping anybody. Now, the country can make laws preventing somebody. But essentially, though, the point is that it can be run by just anybody. It's not controlled by any one person. So the government can't, for example, print new Bitcoin or something like that. They can't restrict it either. So it's decentralized. Now, there's also other cryptocurrencies. Bitcoin is the first and the largest, the most important one, but there are other cryptocurrencies as well. For example, Ethereum is well known. It's the second biggest one. You have things like Cardano, Tezos, just lots of different ones that I could just go through all them. There's like thousands of them. And basically, all the other cryptocurrencies are trying to do something with the basic technology that Bitcoin developed, using the same type of technology. And so they want to allow us to do different things. For example, what are called smart contracts. And that just is ability. For example, let's say you're buying a house and you're transferring, obviously, the ownership of a house from one person to another. Well, right now, there's lots of lawyers involved. There's lots of documents you sign, things like that. With something like Ethereum, a smart contract platform, that could potentially be done all through that platform without really the need for lawyers that much, because the point is that submitting it to some third parties, because it would take care of all that and make sure that, okay, this is really owned by this person because of this reason, something like that. I'm not going to get into that real detail, but the point is that there's a lot of technology being built upon the same type of technology that Bitcoin is. So for example, there is a video hosting platform like YouTube that's decentralized. It's called Library, and Odyssey is the name of the software that runs on top of it. There's also a search engine that like Google, but it's a search engine called Presearch that's built upon the same type of technology. So there's a lot of different technologies, and we're going to show why that matters for Catholics in a little bit. So just note now, though, that Bitcoin is a decentralized platform that runs on the internet that allows you to exchange different things freely without the intervention of a third party. Okay, so the question is, though, what matters here is, for the crisis audience, why does this matter for Catholics? Now that we've got that out of the way, what Bitcoin is, why does it even matter? I mean, why should Catholics care about Bitcoin in particular? First, before I really answer that question, I want to talk about some of the concerns that I've seen Catholics have with Bitcoin. One of them, somebody brought up, says, let me bring up this question here. Let me take this down. somebody, here's an example. Best thing with the ongoing Bitcoin revolution is that it upsets the balance of power in such a way that the secular anti-Catholic Davos elites get their position of power shaken. Yes, that's actually a good thing. Actually, I thought this was going to say something else. I'll save this one for later. Somebody mentioned something about this. Be careful with showing physical Bitcoin, i.e. coins with information on it, as it might also have your private key. There have been, in the past, people have shown similar items and screenshots and lost control of Bitcoin. Yes, thank you. I talk about that in my book, things like that. Don't worry, I would never do that. I've like I said, I've been in Bitcoin for 8 years. And this, I don't even know what this thing is because I just got it in the mail and never used it. So if it's got somebody's coins on it, it's somebody else's, not mine. Okay, so let me get back to some of the concerns people have with Bitcoin, Catholics have specifically. First is some people, they see Bitcoin as inherently immoral. Meaning that it just somehow, because of the fact that Bitcoin has been associated with immoral activities, Bitcoin itself is immoral. For example, one of the ways that Bitcoin first came to prominence back in 2012, 2013, was something through something called the Silk Road, which was an online website that allowed you to buy and sell drugs, and you had to pay with Bitcoin, because obviously no credit card processor would accept that. And so you could buy and sell drugs through the Silk Road using Bitcoin. And so from the beginning, Bitcoin has been associated with illegal activities and also immoral activities. There have been sites where you could hire people, I mean, literally assassinations where you pay through Bitcoin or something like that. And so some people have looked at it as Bitcoin itself is immoral. Well, that's a fallacy because Bitcoin itself is a tool. And like all tools, it is neither moral nor immoral. So it's not moral, it's not immoral, it's amoral. Just like the dollar is. The dollar has actually been used for more criminal and immoral activities than any other currency probably in the history of the world, except for maybe gold and silver. And if you think about it, most illegal criminal activities today is done using the dollar. So unless you can say the dollar is inherently immoral and Catholics can't use it, you can't say that about Bitcoin. And so it's a currency. And so like all currencies, it can be used for immoral purposes. The fact is that cash is actually, is better for immoral, illegal activities than Bitcoin is, because Bitcoin can be tracked if you know what you're doing. And so it's not like Bitcoin is some great thing for immoral activities as opposed to the dollar. Another criticism I've seen of Bitcoin from Catholics is the kind of religious fervor that Bitcoin proponents have. And I'm not going to deny that this exists. There definitely are camps within the Bitcoin world that take their support of Bitcoin to levels that I think is a little bit too much, and it can't even approach a religious fervor. But that's not something against Bitcoin. It's just people excited about it. And the truth is, that says more about our society today, that so many people are without God, without religion, they find ways to fill that void. You see that particularly in sports, how crazy people get about their sports teams, how crazy they are about their baseball team, their football team, whatever the case may be. I mean, people spend Sundays these days, it's not a day for worship or for praising God. It's a day for praising your football team. I mean, just any Sunday in most American cities, that's the case. And so that's wrong, but that doesn't mean football itself is wrong. It means it's been turned into something. People have a unbalanced view of it. And the same is true of Bitcoin. Another criticism of Bitcoin I've heard from Catholics is that the unfairness of the distribution. People who got in early in Bitcoin in 2011 or 12, something like that, they are Bitcoin millionaires, billionaires, whatever the case may be, and that's unfair. And so there's a small number of elite Bitcoiners who have a ton of Bitcoin, and then everybody else has very little now. And with it being $63,000 per Bitcoin right now, it's very hard for the average person to accumulate very much Bitcoin. That's the argument here. The fact of the matter is, though, first of all, every economy is unbalanced, has a very few number of people who possess most of the wealth. That's just a reality that's been with us since the beginning of time. I mean, our Lord himself said that the poor will always be with you. It's not an indictment of Bitcoin that there is an imbalance in which the distribution is not even across. I mean, honestly, That's socialism to want that, to act like everybody should have the exact same amount. Because here's the problem. To get that quote unquote fair distribution, you have to do something immoral. That's the problem. If you want to make it where everybody owns the same amount of dollars, or everybody owns the same amount of Bitcoin, or whatever the currency is, then you have to steal from certain people, take it from certain people, and give it to others. And that's an immoral act right there. So the fact is, even if it is unfair right now, what are you supposed to do? How do you make it quote unquote fair? You have to commit an immoral and evil act to do that. Also, I will say, Bitcoin is the most democratic as far as allowing people to get in. There was nothing stopping anybody in 2011 from accumulating hundreds and hundreds of Bitcoin. I mean, just nothing that stopped them from doing that. I didn't know about it until 2013. I didn't have a lot of money because I was working for a diocese at the time, so I couldn't get that much. But, you know, I was able to as just a regular schmo. I wasn't somebody, you know, who had some inside source or anything like that. I simply just saw the news about it and decided to get some back then. Like I said, I didn't have a lot of money, so I couldn't get a lot. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that anybody could have gotten in on it early. And I know lots of people who have said, I wish I'd known about it back then, but they did know about it. People who basically knew about it, but thought it was crazy, thought it was a scam, didn't think anything about it. And so they didn't do it. Well, I mean, that's just the way it is. So people who did get in on early, good for them. So that, I don't think that's a fair critique of Bitcoin. Some people also talk about the impact on the climate, that Bitcoin has this terrible impact on climate because it takes a lot of computing power in order to power the network. And that is a true statement. A lot of computing power does, a lot of energy then has to occur in order to power the Bitcoin network. But that's what makes it secure. If it didn't have all this money being spent to power it, it'd be very easy to hack. And people could steal your Bitcoin. And they can't do that because of the fact that there's so much power behind it. And really, honestly, I think a lot of this is, I don't really buy because a lot of it falls into the whole climate change narrative, which I think a lot of that is inaccurate. And so I'm not really worried about that. Another criticism is the volatility that the price of Bitcoin changes radically. And that is very true. But that's not really a big deal because early on, anything would be like that. Any early on commodity is going to be volatile early in its early days. And we're still in the early days. Bitcoin's only 12 years old. So it's not even that old. So, and the last thing, this is a particularly Catholic critique. I have seen Catholics for years now who believe that Bitcoin is a pathway to a one world government. Being a global currency, like I said before, it could lead to a one world government that would be against Catholicism, obviously. And I'm not saying that there isn't a possibility of a one world government forming at some point, but Bitcoin's not going to be their currency. Because the fact of the matter is Bitcoin is an anti-government currency, really, because a government can't control it. So even if there was a one world government and they use Bitcoin, it's not like that's a good thing for us because they wouldn't be able to control the money supply, for example. They wouldn't be able to say, okay, we're going to just inflate the money supply like they can with the dollar. So Bitcoin is probably the world's worst currency to be a one world government currency. Okay, so now, why is it that Catholics should be intrigued by Bitcoin cryptocurrency and should be behind it, really? And this is the one thing I focused on in my article back in February was it is a great defense against the cancel culture, against big tech. We've seen this happen over and over again. Just yesterday, yesterday, the Census Fidelium YouTube channel was deleted by YouTube, was suspended. Now, they did end up bringing it back today, I hear. But this is just a Catholic channel that publishes sermons, Catholic sermons, Catholic homilies, things like that. And yet they were shut down because they were quote unquote unsafe. Now they backed down Bitcoin, YouTube did, but this is something that's coming for all of us. I think we're kidding ourselves if we think faithful Catholicism isn't going to be completely driven out of the public sphere of the YouTubes, the Facebooks, the Twitters and places like that. And so the fact is that the technology behind Bitcoin is the best way to fight that. I know that there are other options to big tech, like, for example, Gab or MeWe or Rumble or BitChute, these other places that are alternatives. But they're still centralized technologies. And I'm not saying anything against them, but I'm just saying that they are centralized technologies, which means they can be shut down by the government, by law enforcement very easily. They can be co-opted by a small group of people. And so I don't think they're the long-term solution there. And also, but these decentralized options are. So for example, like I mentioned already, there's this YouTube alternative called Library. It's LBYR. Yeah. And it basically is an alternative to YouTube, and it, but it's decentralized. And so there's no one, host server farm that hosts it that can be shut down. And they also don't have anybody controlling it, saying what you can and cannot upload. And so this is an alternative for Catholics, that when we start getting shut out of these different big tech places, these are alternatives. And there's alternatives growing, decentralized alternatives to Facebook, to YouTube, like I said, to Twitter, to Google search engine. Presearch is an example of that, where they have a, they're building, they're not, they don't have it yet, a decentralized search engine that's not going to gear the search results based upon what somebody at Google headquarters wants it to say. We all know that when we search COVID related items, how Google search results are terrible. And I think this is, these type of solutions are better even than a DuckDuckGo, which is a good product right now, but I think eventually they're going to eventually also cancel things they don't like. So also another thing about why Bitcoin is something of importance. So that's the first thing why Bitcoin is very, in cryptocurrency is important for Catholics. It will help us to get the gospel message out. It will help us to let others know about what is happening, about Catholicism that won't get shut down. And so we need these tools. I mean, I compare it to St. Maximilian Kolbe. He used technology in his day before, of course, he was arrested to promote the message of the Immaculata. I think we should do the same, use technology as much as we can. Now, I'm all for using these technologies, the big ones right now, like I'm on YouTube right now, but I just know that eventually we're going to get kicked off of them. And so we need to have alternatives so we can continue to get the message out of Catholicism, get the, you know, promote Catholicism. Another way that Bitcoin is very good is because it is against big government, frankly. And big government is not something that's good for Catholicism. I think if we don't know that at this point, I don't know where you're living. I mean, the fact of the matter is that governments today are secular, and so they are inherently anti-Catholic. And so the bigger they are, the worse they are. A small secular government doesn't have as much power to control the church as a big secular government. And so Bitcoin, what it does is it helps to, I'm talking about in the future, as it gets bigger and more prominent, it can help shrink the size of government, the power of government. Because right now, the reason government, secular government, can get so big is because they have the power of the printing press, i.e. the money printing press. They can print more money. And we've seen this, oh my gosh, like crazy since the 2008 recession, but particularly during COVID, the amount of money they're pumping into the economic system is ridiculous. And it, all that does is it empowers them. Because if they give you money, there are always, always, always strings attached. And so we need to have alternatives that go against the against big government, against the power of the government, and restricts them. So Bitcoin can help prevent that. So that's a good thing for Catholics. Another way, a final way I want to mention that I think Bitcoin, and probably the most important way I think Bitcoin is important for Catholics today, is in the idea of self-sufficiency, the idea of taking care of ourselves, taking care of our communities, our Catholic communities, in a world that is increasingly becoming constricted for Catholics. I think we all know this. We all know people who have lost their jobs or potentially going to lose their job because of the COVID vaccine mandates. We see this also just in general for everybody, where, like I already mentioned, the grocery store is shut down. People are just, different things are not happening, getting to us. Supply chains are in bad shape. They're in terrible shape, frankly. So you see increased cost for gas, for lumber, for various different things. And this affects us all. And as Catholics, we are called to take care of our families first and foremost, but also take care of our fellow Catholics. And so if we want to do that, we need different ways to have, we need alternative economies. That's what we need. We need alternative economies. Now, I know a criticism of Bitcoin from people who are thinking like this as well. The grid goes down, Bitcoin is worthless. Yeah, you're right. If the grid goes down completely, Bitcoin can't do anything. If there's no internet, there's no Bitcoin. That's worthwhile. However, if the grid goes down, we got a lot more problems than just Bitcoin. Because if the grid goes down, you're not accessing most of your money. You're not accessing money that is in stocks, in the bank, or anything like that. The only thing you're accessing is cash or precious metal or something like that in your house. And so if that's what you're preparing for, then I would recommend cash and precious metals. But the fact is there's a lot of different scenarios other than grid down that will happen, that can happen, that we need to be prepared for. In fact, grid down, I think, is probably the least likely scenario. And so things like what we're happening now, where just things are happening where we're being shut out of various areas of society. There is talk of potentially grocery stores, for example, saying that if you're not vaxxed, you can't get in, you can't come in. I mean, what are Catholics who aren't vaxxed, what are they going to do then? And so we have these different possibilities. We need to have economies, alternative economies, where we can buy and sell things from each other outside of the regular economy. And Bitcoin is a perfect way to do that, that we can pay each other in Bitcoin or another cryptocurrency when we are, for example, let's say you have a garden and you want to sell to your friend at your parish. You want to sell him some of that. He can pay you in Bitcoin and you don't have to worry about being shut out of different systems. So I think that's something that would be very good. Also, I think Bitcoin, and here's a little bit, will sound like investment advice. Again, not investment advice. But the fact is things, the societal crisis we're in, inflation is a real problem. I wrote an article at Crisis about the impact of inflation. Inflation is real. It's happening. And it devalues your money. It devalues your money. But Bitcoin is a hedge against that and can help you keep the value of your money so that you can take care of your family, take care of your Catholic community better. And also just, there's no good place to save your money right now. Like a risk-free, like, okay, a savings account is a joke. A savings account gets like, what is it? 0.1% interest, something like that. And with inflation officially at 5%, but I would say it's probably more like around 10%. That means you're losing money every day if you put it in a savings account. So there are something like Bitcoin can be an alternative. And again, Bitcoin is high risk. I get that. And I'm, again, not investment advice, but I think as Catholics, we have to be smart about, trying to prepare for the future. And I think Bitcoin is a great way to do that. Now, essentially, okay, I got one question here that just came up. Are some wallets better than others? Okay, let me talk a little bit practical about Bitcoin before I conclude here. If you do want to hold Bitcoin, the easiest way to get into it is through something like Coinbase. But I'd recommend if you're going to have anything that you consider valuable. And by the way, what somebody considers valuable, $100 for one person might be valuable, but $10,000 for another might be valuable. So whatever you consider valuable, I would only say you buy it at Coinbase, but then you keep it on your own wallet. And I have some advice about that in my book, Bitcoin Basics, and I'll put a link to this in the show notes so you can buy it if you want to. The Kindle version is also at Amazon, very cheap. I think it's like 99 cents or something like that. But you can also buy the physical copy from me if you want. But I would recommend a hardware wallet. And the big two are the Trezor and the Ledger. And either one, it doesn't really matter. So I just recommend one of those two wallets as a hardware wallet because it's much harder. It's not basically not possible to hack if you know what you're doing. So I'd recommend that. Again, I mentioned that in the book, but just look up like the Trezor wallet or the Ledger wallet. So if you want to hold Bitcoin, it allows you to then hold your Bitcoin or other cryptocurrencies and also send it to others. If you're like, for example, like I said, buying something from somebody, if you want to, a lot of times there's also wallets for your phone, your smartphone. I don't really have a smartphone anymore. I'm having an old one. But smartphone, most of those wallets are probably fine. Just make sure that it's a legit one. I mean, just keeping on Coinbase at that point, if it's a small amount on your phone to transact, you could just keep it at Coinbase at that point, use their wallet. So that would be my recommendation. Okay, well, I'm going to conclude here. And what I want to just say that I do think I would, the point of this podcast was to basically encourage people, Catholics specifically, to look into things like Bitcoin, like cryptocurrency as an alternative to our current economic system, because I personally believe our current economic system is crashing. I think within 10 years, we're going to be in big trouble. And so I think Catholics need to be ready for that. And I think Bitcoin is one way to do that. Also, I think that the noose is tightening on Catholics about our ability to get our message out on different platforms from big tech. And so I think we also need to look for alternatives to that. So both as a monetary system and as a platform, a decentralized platform for getting the gospel out, I think in both those ways, Catholics really have to consider Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies. Again, my book, Bitcoin Basics, there's a lot of other good information out there. And I also want to repeat, this was not a investment advice. So do with your money whatever you want to do with your money. That's up to you, not me. Just these are my opinions, and that's it. So I think I'll leave it with that. And so until next time, God love you.